Welcome to the Viktor Frankl Meaning Academy. We are your hosts of the Meaning Academy podcast, Dr. Daniel Franz and Dr. Baruch Halevi. In this podcast, we explore the insights and inspiration of Dr. Viktor Frankl and all things meaning, purpose, and resilience. Thanks for joining us. And now let's begin our search for meaning.
Hello and welcome to the Viktor Frankl Meaning Academy podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Daniel A. Franz, Dr. Dan for short, with my good friend and colleague and cohort in the Viktor Frankl Meaning Academy, Dr. Rabbi Baruch B. Halevi. B, how the heck you doing today, man? Happy Friday.
Happy Black Friday, because look at you in your wardrobe. You're styling, dude. Looking good.
Well, thank you. I tried to match my my good partner and esteemed colleague here, and you know, can't let you take all of the glory for being such a good dresser.
You know, I was considering when I was deciding the path of the clergy to become a priest, because I love their freaking outfits, and it was like compelling to me.
We're going there already.
So instead, I ended up as a rabbi. But man, I could have done the priest outfit for sure. I wear black every single day of my life.
I mean, there's a podcast right there, How to Discern Rabbi versus Catholic Priest. I'm not sure I would be allowed to partake in that and go to church the following week, but, you know, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I talked to the rabbi just a little too long.
So on that note, what are we getting ourselves into trouble through today?
Well, I tell you what, B, it's early Friday morning, but it's already been a glorious day for me. I hit the ground running at 5:30, 6 o'clock, and I've been talking. Sorry, man, not to betray you, but talking to some other men in black today, ironically. Some good friends of the podcast, my good friend, retired Navy Chief Joe Paul. And then after that, I talked to somebody I hadn't interviewed in a long time, Mr. Matthew LaStaglia, friends of the Viktor Frankl Meaning Academy, as well as my personal podcast, The Meaning Project. And just talking about the amazing things that they're up to and the great work that we're doing with your search for meaning. They really wanted to hear what we were up to. And it was really cool, because I pulled out a quote that one of our participants, one of our meaning seekers in the Viktor Frankl Meaning Academy, in your search for meaning, left us this week, because we hosted our meaning seekers meeting last week. It was amazing as always. Dr. Elise headed a hour-long discussion about who am I from the logotherapy perspective. And unfortunately, one of our esteemed participants wasn't able to make it that day. And so he asked for the recording, and we provided that, of course, because we would provide the recordings for your search for meaning. And here's what he said. This really got a good interaction going between him and I. He said, "You know, thanks for sharing the session. Sorry, I missed it. I will say this ended with me wanting to see what's next and excited to continue this journey. We've only been doing this 5 weeks. And this man just wants to keep at it." He says, "I watched the clock tick down and thought there is no way that this is ending this quickly. We run 60 minutes on the dot because we are respectful of everybody's time. We start on the dot and on the dot." And he wanted more. He says, "It's great we have this community to continue the conversations and a follow-up session soon." And from that, I sent him a personal email. I said, "Hey, I just wanted to check in with you. You know, this is an individual that knew me professionally for quite a while. We've worked together for a while." And I asked him, I said, "Anything particular, any particular direction, specific questions? What is it you're searching for?" I said, "You know, I feel personally compelled to make sure you are getting what you need here. First of all, B, in any coaching program you've ever been in, has anybody reached out to you personally about, 'Hey man, just want to check in with you and make sure you're getting your needs met here?' Probably not like we do at the Viktor Frankl Meaning Academy."
No, and this, definitely not that personal.
Not that personal, right? And I think that's one of the cool things, again, especially in this beta format. We've got 20 people enrolled right now. We usually get a good half dozen to a dozen participating, but it's awesome that we get to have that personal touch. And here's the thing he comes back with. He says, "You know what? I don't know. I'm not really sure. I'm excited to be participating, but I think it's really too early for me to know exactly what I need. He says, I just keep using the tools, one of which is an entire toolbox put together by UV, which is an amazing function. He says, going through this course and participating will hopefully ignite something inside of me. And I read that and I'm like, man, that is logotherapy. That is the Viktor Frankl Meaning Academy. I'm not sure what I need or what I want, but I know there's something. I know I need to do something different, something better. I need to take responsible action. And I'm just happy I have you guys to ignite that in me and to help push me.
Wow. Quite an endorsement.
It is. And so my reading lately, and I sent you some notes, you may not have had a chance. So this, for all of you faithful listeners out there, I'm just throwing B some curveballs and we're going to see what he can hit. So I'm back into The Doctor and the Soul. Now, what I was reading this morning when I hit the ground running was just, again, mind-blowing for me, just like the first time I read it. Just like, I have so many highlights in that Kindle and in the paperback back there. But I was trying not to just skim the highlights and actually read the material in between. And I came up with so many good pieces related to what this fine gentleman had to say to us. All right, B. So here's your first curveball, man. I want you to comment on this idea. You and I have been talking a lot about logotherapy and spirituality and men's spirituality and trying to sprinkle in some women's spirituality, even though, we don't always feel equipped to speak on that.
Maybe we get yelled at.
And we get yelled at. So Dr. Frankl in the beginning chapter says this. He says, in the field of philosophy, psychologism, right, which is kind of like thinking that psychology can answer all questions, just like we believe scientism can answer all questions, right? Psychologism has been overcome by the critical methods of phenomenology in the field of psychotherapy. Psychologism must now be overcome by a method that we shall call logotherapy. To this, logotherapy would be assigned the task we have described as psychotherapy in spiritual terms. Logotherapy must supplement psychotherapy. That is, it must fill the void whose existence we have mentioned. By the use of logotherapy, we are equipped to deal with philosophical questions within their own frame of reference, and it can embark on objective discussion of the spiritual distress of human beings being suffering from psychic disturbances. And that's the one I really want to focus on with you, B. We can embark on objective discussion of the spiritual distress of human beings suffering from psychic disturbances. Dr. Frankl wrote this, in the 50s, 60s? And he was recognizing that back then. And I would say that is the majority of what we see in our offices, in social media, in the public, is this spiritual distress from psychic disturbances. What do you think?
First of all, I have never run out of my ability to make notes on a Kindle, but you hit, actually, I think I did it with Doctor and the Soul. Maybe it was Man's Search for Meaning, but have you ever gotten that point on Kindle where it says you're not allowed to make any more highlights?
I have. And it's always soul crushing for me, man. I'm like, well, can I, there's four colors. Can I just change colors? And like, no, that's enough from you.
It's only happened once to me. I think it was Doctor and the Soul. And anyways, I ended up buying it on a different account so I could make more notes. Like that's just to, affirm how amazing the book is. All right. Well, one of the reasons why I consider myself a meaning coach or a spiritual guide is because I think the idea of psychotherapy is just, I don't know. I don't say corrupted, but it's certainly been taken down a particular path. And I think that's that psychologism that Frankl was talking about, where it becomes so reductionistic. Now, I have so many people sit in my chair behind me here who say, I've been going to therapists for years and I came to you because I want a different approach. Yeah, I want to go backwards, but I really want to go forwards. I want height psychology. They don't say that, but that's what they're saying. And one of the things I love about Frankl is he does acknowledge that we come from a past. We have a set of baggage we're dragging around with us, and we definitely need to set it down, unpack it, explore it. But one of the things I love about his work is that we also need to raise our sights
And that's where we get into the spiritual, right? The spiritual to me is about not where we've come from, but where we're called to. Mm-hmm. And so I really love logotherapy because it's a listening to the calling and where are you being called? And I was working with a guy yesterday who all we talked about was, you know, he doesn't need me. He doesn't need Frankel. He doesn't need the Bible. He doesn't need anything other than that calling. And all these, which I just named, I think are great resources to get you back to your calling. But you have a calling. You have a knowing. You have an intuition. You have a nous. Call it whatever you want. It's in you. You must get back to it. And that's the spiritual disturbance, I think, that you're talking about, is we don't hear it so much anymore.
No, that's exactly right. Back in Frankel's day, it was called that spirit. I love this word, right? Very, it's almost a romantic word for a description of a negative situation, a spiritual malaise. It sounds like something you should sprinkle over toast, maybe with avocado, right? Spiritual malaise. Today, our generation calls that feeling meh. So different. I don't want meh on my avocado toast, but it's the same thing, right? It's that sense of, well, as they say here, spiritual distress. And he talks about that from a couple different perspectives in Doctrine of the Soul. I couldn't do it and just like read straight through it. I wanted to jump and try to find some nuggets for today. And there's a brief chapter on the neurosis of anxiety. And that's exactly what he says in different words, right? We have this experience of anxiety today. So many people come in and I'm just anxious. I don't know why. And often I ask, we have to figure out why. What is the focus? What do you think anxiety is? What are you experiencing? You know, is it just general discomfort? Is it, no, I have this, my heart palpitates and shortness of breath. And sometimes it gets so intense, I kind of dissociate. I feel like I'm all of those symptoms, right? That unfortunately too many people are reading on Dr. Google. But right, we feel an overwhelming sense of worry or dread. And for some of us, we then associate that. What he says in Doctrine of the Soul is then we find some, we can't identify it. We don't know what it is. So we go search Dr. Google. And Dr. Google is, well, Dr. Google will give you a diagnosis all day long. It's probably not right. But for some people, they find a body part. Oh, that body part is corrupted. It's cancerous, whatever it might be. And then they develop this hypochondriasis, this fixation on illness or not feeling well. When in the end, as you said, if you find your calling, if you recognize sometimes you're just worried about existence, you're worried about where life is going, you don't have a calling, you're not finding meaning. All of a sudden, when you find that call, these things go away. You're not anxious anymore. And thanks for giving me that softball there. For those of you considering signing up for your search for meaning, I am actually working on module number 7, which is the call, and talking about exactly that.
When you're talking, I'm thinking about one of my favorite, I don't know, examples of this is Michelangelo, who is creating the sculpture David. I've never seen David in person. I've seen it on, you know, line. I've read that it is a masterpiece sculpture. And at least legend has it, somebody asked David Michelangelo, how you created David. And he said, I didn't create David. I removed all of the marble that wasn't David. Mm-hmm. David was in the marble. And I think that that's the work of really of logotherapy, but of just, you know, listening to the call. The call is in there. Mm-hmm. I have covered David up. In this case, I've covered Baruch B up in all of the ways that I've strayed from B, strayed from me, strayed from my nous, strayed from my true self, my spirit, whatever you want to call it. And so it isn't about becoming or doing or achieving. It is about returning, mm-hmm. right? And that to me is a fundamentally different starting point for logotherapy in particular. You're whole, right? I don't have to make you whole. What I have to do as a logotherapist is help you return to him or to her. That is a very different paradigm than oftentimes you get in a therapist's office.
Yeah, well, the paradigm that we are taught in the psychotherapist's office, you know, managed care medical model is you get 8 to 12 sessions, come up, first of all, meet this person, and within 10 minutes, assign them a diagnosis, come up with a treatment plan for that diagnosis, treat them within 8 to 12 sessions and be done with it. They, hallelujah, are healed. And we know in the world that we live in, that's not the way things are working. I love your that idea of returning to the self, right? That is the nature of that spiritual distress. You're not going to find that on Dr. Google, right? It is that feeling of something's not quite right with me. Something's not quite with the world. Something's not quite right with me in the world. But we don't have to label that as anxiety or depression or PTSD or ADHD or whatever, you know, throw out any of those letters you want. It truly, it may not be a psychological mental illness. What we're experiencing is the spiritual distress of our times. And if we can, if logotherapy is what is needed, it certainly is what is needed to help you return to yourself. I think that's what we talk about. Everybody in whatever profession you are, you don't have to become a logotherapist, but man, you should learn about this stuff. You should read all of Dr. Frankl's books or participate in one of our upcoming certification programs and learn how to apply these principles to your life and to the life of the people you work with.
You asked me a question a couple of days ago when we were talking offline about like, what do we call this thing? We're going to offer certification at some point. What are we certifying? And the problem is you got two extremes. On the one extreme, you got more, you know, traditional psychoanalysis. That's one extreme, where it's regression, it's going backwards to the past to dig in to find where you're broken, essentially. Then on the other extreme, you have modern coaching, like everybody's a coach now. And that is becoming, that is going out 7 steps to the new you, right? And that is the antithesis. One is about going back and fixing. The other is about going out and becoming. And where we sit, I think, is somewhere in the middle as logotherapists, which I think we're really looking at meaning coaching. But that is that, yes, we need to heal, but yes, we need to return. So I just think it's a new space, and we're up against a lot of problematic labels and terms and things out there that we're competing against.
Yeah. Well, and one of those things, you used this word before, I love to hate this word, right? The idea of reductionism. And I think that's where so much psychology, especially psychoanalysis, behavior psychology, ABA, applied behavior analysis, and even coaching, fails to see the whole person, mind, body, and spirit. You know, we are reduced to a set of drives. Oh, well, you feel this way at 50 because, you know, your mother disciplined you poorly at 4, or, you know, you feel like a failure because, you know, your third grade elementary school teacher chastised you in April. It's like, no, we are not reduced. And so many people come to my office wanting that. Why do I behave this way? Give me my one answer. I'm like, no, you are a whole person, a collection of variables over the past decades. We can try to figure out what the exact answer is, but as Dr. Frankl teaches us, it is far more important to understand, you know, to return to who you are now, to integrate all of those experiences into who you are today, and then to understand where you want to go with that.
I love that, and I love the idea of calling, right? Of being called. And I just think that that's such a great term, because calling implies, A, there's a caller, and B, there's a called, you know, somebody who's called. And so really thinking about, you know, what is calling me, right? And where is it calling me? What am I being called to do? And I just find, especially in this day and age, like, it's just so simple. We're called to just get quiet, to just settle down, to listen. I mean, that is, to me, that is the biggest thing. You know, you talked about anxiety. People come to me and they talk about how they need to get rid of their anxiety. You don't get rid of anxiety. Anxiety is energy. The question is, what do you do with it? Right? To have no anxiety is to be dead. I don't care who you are. Every waking being has anxiety at some level. It doesn't mean you're controlled by it. It doesn't mean you're defined by it. But to not have anxiety is not to be a living being. So the question is, what are you being called to do with the anxiety?
Much like how we teach that guilt can be a healthy, positive emotion when we allow it to change our behavior, so can anxiety, so can stress. You know, those are simply indications. They are overt indications somewhere in your mind or body that your spirit is suffering, right? How do you don't, much to B's point, You don't get rid of anxiety. You go through it. You conquer it. You accomplish it. Anxiety is a good thing telling you there is something I got to do in this life, this week, maybe today. The more intense the anxiety, the more intense the stress, the more important the calling that you need to address, right? There is something I got to do right now, and I am freaked out about it. And too often, what I'm seeing, sadly, in our generation of young adults is, well, I'm anxious, so I just need to sit here and wait for it to pass. It's like, no, you need to get into life and take responsible action and figure out what that's about and go do something with it. Push through that anxiety, learn from it, integrate it, make it a part of who you are, own it.
Yeah, I see I see more of not make it pass the anxiety, but I need to get rid of it. I need to discharge it. I need to cover it up. I need to take the right pill. I need to find a new activity, some diversion, right? And I feel like, as opposed to just listening to, really, if you're up at 3 a.m, all right, that's usually the witching hour of anxiety where it comes calling. What is it? You know, is it? And laying in bed and just spinning around and around and around versus what I encourage people to do is, okay, you're being called at 3 a.m. Like, what if the universe is tapping on your shoulder and saying, hey, Dan, it's time to get up and I'm giving you some energy. Now you're calling it anxiety and worry and fear and you want to get rid of it so you can go back to sleep. But what if I'm calling you TikTok, 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 get up and listen to it. One last thing. So I've been studying myths, ancient myths, and I'm doing a lot of men's work. And one of the men's myths that I'm using is Peter Pan. All right. This is about the boy who doesn't want to grow up, who doesn't want to take responsibility, who wants to live in Neverland with the Lost Boys. And so he's one, you know, thing in the, he's one example in the book or in the story, but usually we don't pay attention to Captain Hook. So you remember your Peter Pan, Dr. Dan. Captain Hook is a middle-aged man. Right. Peter Pan's a young boy and he's the opposite. He is afraid of all the realities of his life. So remember what he's afraid of in the story? Pop quiz. What's
Captain? He's afraid of the crocodile.
He's afraid of the crocodile.
Go ahead.
I think we talked about this last time, but I'm sharing it again. With the TikTok.
The TikTok. The clock. The clock. Right? Yep.
He's always trying to outrun the clock. But it's coming for him. It's chasing him. And he's terrified of the clock. So he's living on one side of the reality where he's so deep into the midlife, the afternoon of life, responsibilities and duties. And Peter Pan doesn't want any of it. So you got these two extremes. But why do I say that? Because they're both running, right? Each in their own way, as opposed to listening. What am I anxious about? Like if Captain Hook could do this work at the Meaning Academy and Captain Hook would come, we'd help him start to listen to the TikTok because his TikTok has something to tell him.
Absolutely. That's exactly what is said from the words of Doctrine of the Soul and everything you and I talk about, right? That existential anxiety, right, is condensed into some kind of phobia, some kind of fear, some kind of worry, some kind of anxiety. The original fear of death, as Dr. Frankel calls it. And then all of a sudden we focus on the clock, or we focus on never wanting to grow up. And instead, if we find a meaningful endeavor to focus that towards some self-transcendent work, we recognize the clock is ticking, but it's okay to grow up. Not just okay, but it's important to grow up, to go through those stages, to face the fact that we're going to die. And to do something amazing with it. I was just talking to my men's group yesterday. It was, you would have been happy. I don't record that one for confidentiality's sake, but it was so cool. We were talking about, you know, we've been meeting, this will probably be our 6th or 7th week since I restarted that group. And one of the younger gentlemen, this is a men's meaning-based substance abuse group. So many of these guys are here. Well, it's a good mix of voluntarily or court ordered to be here participating with me to, because of substance abuse, whether they got in trouble with the law or maybe their partner. And one of the young men took some guidance a few weeks ago and he said, man, I just got back from driving to your state, Colorado and Arizona and Wyoming. And he just like nearly breaks into tears with how meaningful and just just breaking through that existential angst that was for me. He goes, "You guys, I think I finally found my purpose. You know, I don't always like this job, but this job will help me support more opportunities to go do this." And maybe he says, "I think I found," he was just on fire. "I think I found myself out there." Right. And that's just one example of finding something meaningful, experience, travels, seeing new things that totally turned this young man around.
I feel like just I should share with our audience. They may not know. I am actually court ordered to be on this podcast every week. So it's part of my, you know, my work with undoing the harm I've done. So,
well, I'd ask you to hold your hand up to prove that. But because the handcuffs are still there, we don't want to show the audience that.
So being called. I'm away while you get your.
Oh, I got the other one in my ear. Yeah, that's the speaker one.
Thought you had a wardrobe malfunction. So I think it's important to listen to, you know, that gentleman you're talking about and just listening to the call, because that's something I work with a lot on. You know, that's my area of passion and training. I'm not clinically trained like Dr. Dan. My doctoral degree is in pastoral counseling. So a spiritual quality of counseling. And, you know, problem is we say spiritual and usually we think, I don't know, like transcendent beyond me, woo woo, or heavens opening, booming voices. And I think that that is such a disservice to what Dr. Frankl certainly meant by spiritual, because spirit is, you know, nuos for Dr. Frankl. And that's just, that is a place or a space within us, beyond us, that we have access to, that we find in our own way. There's your way. There's not my way. Nobody finds their path back to this David in the marble, to them, their true self, by anybody else's way. So you got to find your way. And here's one example of it. So remember, Dr. Dan, the book of Exodus, when Moses is speaking to the burning bush. Remember that famous scene?
Absolutely.
So if you ever saw the movie adaptation, the cartoon adaptation, the Prince of Egypt, well-known, I think it was Disney, I don't know who made it. But the bottom line was, a teacher of mine, a rabbi, I was in LA at the time, a rabbinical school, and they were consulting with him on the movie because they wanted it to be sort of historically or spiritually correct. So they came to this moment where they were trying to figure out who's speaking back to Moses from the bush. That's the first time he hears the call of God. And they were trying to figure out, like, what's the voice of God? You know, is it James Earl Jones, right? Is it Charlton Heston? And so then they started grappling with, well, actually, maybe it should be everybody's voice in the movie. So they tried that and it didn't work. It was just like white noise. So they eventually decided upon an ancient midrash, an ancient teaching that said, whoever was speaking to the bush, that's whose voice they heard back. And so all throughout the movie, whoever's speaking to God, the voice they hear back is their voice. Mm. Right. And I feel like that's the work that we do, is helping people get back to their voice. What's your voice? What's that inner calling? Not your mom, not your dad, not your wife, kids, not your colleague, the world around you. What is your voice calling out to you, and learning how to listen to that?
I think that's absolutely beautiful. Unfortunately, it is factually inaccurate. We all know the voice of God is that of Morgan Freeman, or at least in my mind, it better be. But yeah, you know, what is your voice? What are you trying to say to yourself? What is your burning bush compelling you to do something? I do want to speak. I'm going to check it out. Watch this. I'm going to do a reversal. 2 points. I'm pulling the language history. So Dr. Frankl talks of spirit, nuos, right? In the German, that is Geist, as in Zeitgeist, the spirit of the time. So just as a certain time has a spirit, right? It is all of those variables, right? If I were to say to you, B, tell me about the 1920s, you would talk about funny dresses and weird dances and prohibition and Al Capone, right? Those are the variables that make up the time. That is the zeit of the time. And your spirit is all of those variables that make you up. And I have to say, that's what I think, B, not to pat ourselves on the back so much, but I think that's what makes us the perfect yin yang. Although today we're both dressed as yang. I've got a little bit more yin going on the head right now, but it really balances us out, is that you do have that, you know, ministerial, that spiritual, that pastoral training. I come from more of a psychotherapeutic background. And when we put that stuff together, it really does. It's a compelling yin and yang, order and chaos. And I want to pull out of one of Dr. Frankl's quotes exactly about that. He tells us, psychotherapy endeavors to bring instinctual facts to consciousness, right? Our instincts to consciousness. Logotherapy, on the other hand, seeks to bring to awareness the spiritual realities. As existential analysis, it is particularly concerned with making men conscious of their responsibility, since being responsible is one of the essential grounds of human existence. If to be human is, as we have said, to be conscious and responsible, then existential analysis is psychotherapy whose starting point is consciousness of responsibility. I think that ties it together just perfectly.
And then bringing it full circle, how we, or at least you, began the Meaning Academy and the Your Search for Meaning community that we're building online every other week, but obviously also every day you have access to our virtual community where we connect. That's why we need a community of a place committed to holding this space, creating this space where we can hold each other collectively accountable, responsible, because we can't do this work. Yeah, we have to find our burning bush in the desert by ourselves, and it's our call and it's our listening, but we can also come back to a community to support us to continue doing this work so that we don't feel lonely on the journey. We walk, you know, we walk side by side, each of us doing our work, but together.
Absolutely. You know, from your current research into myth, right? The hero's journey, one of our favorite myths out there that we quote often. Every great hero throughout history has their tragic flaw that they have to overcome, that thing, that part of them that they have to, that anxiety that they have to push through. But with that, they all find a mentor or a community. And that's what we want to be. Not that we are always, our good friend Dr. Elise is a man, such a good mentor. We try to be mentors. But the beautiful thing is what we are witnessing now, just a couple months in, not even a couple months, a couple weeks into that program, people are starting to mentor each other. And that is so freaking cool to watch.
So, you know, maybe end here, but it's open enrollment. So don't feel like you didn't start, so therefore you shouldn't start. Jump in at any time. Our content is evergreen. It's always available too. So you can get as much as you want going backwards, but you can just join us right now where we are and march with us forward. I just think it's important if this resonates with you, to find a community, if not us, then some community, but we do invite you and want you to be a part of ours.
Absolutely. Takeaways from today, right? If you feel here, if you're seeing that burning bush in your life, feeling compelled that you know there's something better for you out there, something you are supposed to be doing, something different, and that is manifesting as psychological anxiety or spiritual malaise, or if you just aren't feeling right in the world, find that mentor, find that community. Find that pastoral therapist like B, find that psychotherapist like me, or of course, find a good logotherapist or a community full of them. There are people out there to help. Don't suffer alone, right? As Dr. Frankl tells us, not changing our suffering is masochism. We always have the ability to change our attitude. And if you're listening to this, my goodness, just in one episode, but in all the episodes we've shared, there are so many ways to improve this. And that's our goal at the Viktor Frankl Meaning Academy, to continue to share these resources, to share these opportunities, to help people as individuals and therefore help community and ideally the world at large. So as always, B, any wrapping thoughts?
Amen, brother. That's all I got.
As always, live your life with meaning, purpose, and resilience. Take care.
Take care.
You've been listening to the Meaning Academy podcast with your hosts, Dr. Daniel Franz and Dr. Baruch Halevi. If you found meaning in what you've heard, please leave us a 5-star review and be sure to share this with fellow meaning seekers. And don't forget to check us out at themeaningacademy.com, where you can learn how to join our weekly virtual and complimentary meaning masterminds. Until the next time, get out there and live your purpose and discover your meaning.